Welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for the family with an emphasis on finding out what God has to say to us through His Word, the Bible. Little Deborah enjoyed her daily telephone talk with her grandmother. But one morning, her mother was horrified when she heard Deborah say, "Gamma, you ugly." Her mother gave a hurried apology and hung up the receiver. Turning to her child, she talked with her for some time about the use of the word ugly. And then she explained to little Deborah how to make an apology. Satisfied that she understood, Mother called Grandma again. "Mother," she began, "Deborah has something she wants to say to you." Taking the phone with confidence, Deborah apologized. "Gamma, I sorry you ugly." We may smile at this, but with all her explaining, Mother had not made herself clear to Deborah. Don't we sometimes have the same problem with communication? We think someone understands what we have said, but they really don't. We're about to look at the minor prophets. These men of God sometimes had similar problems of communication. They had a message to proclaim, but often it was hard to get it through to the people. Sometimes the prophet was the problem. Remember Jonah? We'll be looking at him in just a little bit. His problem was that he did not want to deliver the message. And very often the people did not want to receive God's message. That made it hard for the messenger. Here on the Emmaus Bible Hour, we're studying the course, Summary of the Bible. We're on Lesson 7 and Page 1 of that lesson. Some of you have the lesson materials before you. We're anxious to put these fine lessons into all of our listeners' hands. Be sure to have pencil and paper ready for our address at the close of the program. Now we begin the Minor Prophets. These books are called the Minor Prophets because of the size of the books, not because of their content. Actually, some of them, if not all, have major messages. Now the first one, Hosea. His name means salvation. All we know about Hosea is from his book. In other words, we do not learn anything about Hosea as a person from other books of the Bible. The theme of the book is Return Unto the Lord. Notice Hosea 6:1. That's the sixth chapter of Hosea, end verse 1. And by the way, don't be discouraged if you have a hard time finding the minor prophets. Many people do. They are short books, and you may have to use the index in the front of your Bible for the page number. Now Hosea 6:1. "Come, let us return to the Lord, for He has torn us, but He will heal us. He has wounded us, but He will bandage us." While Isaiah was prophesying in Judah, Hosea was active as a prophet in Israel. He began his ministry in the reign of Jeroboam II and continued until after the nation had been captured by the Assyrians, one of the darkest periods in Jewish history. It's easy to remember Hosea because he was the prophet with the unfaithful wife. God commanded him to marry a harlot named Gomer. True to her character, she left him to live shamefully in sin. Then God instructed his servant to buy her on the public market and bring her back in blessing. The purpose of all this, of course, was to picture God's relationship with Israel. The nation had proved unfaithful, living in idolatry and moral wickedness. For many years, it would be without a king, a sacrifice, or idols. That is its present status. And then when Israel will return to the Lord in repentance, He will have mercy. Ephraim will then be forever cured of its idolatrous backsliding and converted to God. Ephraim was the largest tribe of Israel and the leader in rebellion. Hosea uses this name to include the entire 10 tribes of Israel. The book is a wonderful record of God's unfailing love for His failing people. Here's a book that surely should speak to us today. As the music plays, may we be reminded of our own failings, and then thank the Lord for His unfailing love to us. Listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This time we're looking at the Minor Prophets, and we're about halfway through the correspondence course titled Summary of the Bible. By the way, we'd like to send you a copy of this course so that you can study it in your own home. Be sure to write to us. Our address is to be given at the close of the program. So be ready with pencil and paper. You may also want to take some notes as we go along. Now we want to look at the book of Joel. His name means Jehovah is God. Joel is considered by many as the earliest of the writing prophets. He wrote down God's message. The theme of the book is the day of the Lord. We find this expression repeated over and over again in the book. It is generally agreed that Joel prophesied to Judah from the reign of Joash to that of Ahaz. He described a terrible plague of locusts which devastated the entire land. By this vivid picture, the prophet vainly sought to call his people to repentance, lest God shall allow the foreign foes to invade the country. However, his prophecy will have a future fulfillment in the day of the Lord, a time of great judgment preceded by terrible signs and wonders, but followed by divine blessing. Joel predicted the pouring out of the Spirit upon all flesh. The day of Pentecost was a pledge of this, but it will have its final fulfillment at the time of the restoration of Israel. Moving on, we come to the book of Amos. The theme might be summed up in the verse we find in Amos 3:3. That's the third chapter of Amos and the third verse. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Man has a responsibility to walk with God. Amos was a herdsman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. We find the words, "Thus saith the Lord," some 40 times in this book. Someone has said that Amos feared God so much that he feared no one else at all. He was a prophet during the reign of Jeroboam II. He was sent to preach at Bethel, where a golden calf had been set up as an object of worship by Jeroboam I, who was also the first king of Israel. As long as Amos confined his ministry to announcing God's judgment on Damascus, Gaza, Tyrus, Edom, Ammon, and Moab, he was well received. However, when he turned to Judah and Israel and told of sterner punishment because of greater privilege, he met opposition. By a series of visions, he pictured the imminence and certainty of God's wrath on Israel. However, the Lord would spare a remnant of the nation, he predicted, and eventually Israel would be restored and converted. We have two more minor prophets to look at, so we'd better move along. You can easily see that these books are rich studies. Obadiah comes next. His name means servant of Jehovah. It is not possible to state definitely when Obadiah lived. Some believe he was contemporary with Hosea, Joel, and Amos. Others feel he lived during the captivity. The key word of the book is Edom. The prophet rebukes Edom for its unbrotherly spirit toward the Jews. The Edomites were descendants of Esau, and thus relatives of the Israelites. However, they refused passage through their country when Israel was marching from Egypt to Canaan. Years later, when the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem, the Edomites showed their spite by joining in the massacre and plunder. Because of their pride and cruelty, Obadiah prophesied their utter destruction. The Jewish people would be God's instrument to accomplish Edom's downfall. And then Israel will be delivered and will possess all the land originally promised to them, including Edom. Next, our old friend Jonah. His name means dove. It is believed that Jonah prophesied to Israel during the reigns of Jehoahaz, Joash, and Jeroboam II. God sent him to Nineveh to cry out against its wickedness. This was the capital of Assyria, Israel's greatest foe. Jonah feared that Nineveh might repent and be spared by God, and so he fled toward Tarshish. Overtaken by a great storm, he was cast into the sea by his endangered shipmates. He was swallowed by a great fish and then cast out on dry land. After this, Jonah willingly went to Nineveh and predicted that it would be destroyed in 40 days. The city repented at his preaching, just as Jonah had feared. God spared the city for about 150 more years. Jonah was angry that Nineveh escaped until God showed him that he had the right to show mercy to whomever he will. Jonah's experience inside the fish is typical of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. With Jonah, we'll close this time together. We plan, the Lord willing, next time to complete the Minor Prophets. In the meanwhile, we hope that you'll get better acquainted with these men of God and the Minor Prophets. And we hope that you'll write for the course Summary of the Bible. Stay tuned for our address. This has been the Emmaus Bible Hour.